Lesson from the letter of St. Paul the Apostle to the Romans. Brethren, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, Therefore I will praise thee among the Gentiles and sing to thy name. And again it is said, Rejoice, O Gentiles, with this people. And again, Praise the Lord, all Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And further, Isaiah says, The root of Jesse shall come, he who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is he who takes no offense at me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to behold? A reed shaken by the wind? Why then did you go out to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, those who wear soft raiment are in the king's houses. Why then did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. The saving words of the Gospel. Well, here we are with our second Sunday of Advent, and there are great riches in our readings today. There are a couple of puzzling things in here that we can take a look at. For one thing, on this particular Sunday, we have a cutting from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and he goes on and on about the Gentiles in here, doesn't he? Well, this is because he's writing to the Romans. He's not writing to the Hebrews, he's writing to the Romans. And so he puts a real stress on the Gentiles. But one of the things in here that's important is how Paul sets up for them how the Lord was foretold. And this is important for us to understand why we have the gospel reading here today too. This is what the church is stressing, that the Lord in his coming was foretold through salvation history, by prophets and foreshadowings. And John opens the reading with, Are you he who is to come, or is there another? Now, right away, there may pop into someone's mind that John is asking this question because he's doubting maybe that Christ is the one to come. He's not sure. He wants reassurance. He wants to know. That doesn't seem to be be the reason. The fathers of the church, in answering the same question, because it pops up to everybody, so. Great fathers of the church have looked into it. I found a wonderful passage by Gregory the Great, and I won't quote the whole thing. I put it on in my comments for this Sunday on the website what's it called? 1 Peter 5. You can find my comment, the whole quote by Gregory the Great. But he makes a very interesting thing. He underscores that John did not doubt who Christ was. He was the one who pointed to him, after all. And Christ, after this, directly after this pericope that we hear today, I think this goes from verses 2 to 10 of Matthew 11. In verse 11, Christ says that John is the greatest man ever born of woman. And a little bit later in verse 14, I think he says that John is like another Elijah. Ah, well, now we're getting to the point here. So, when John asks the question about the Lord, are you he who is to come? Gregory says that John is effectively sending the message. All right, you have come into the world, and I pointed you out here. You came into the land of the living, and I have pointed you out in the land of the living. John has probably got a sense that he's not going to get out of prison alive. He's about to die. So this is a subtle way of saying, if you came into the land of the living, are you also the one waiting that we're waiting for to also preach to the dead? If I came before you in the land of the living, I'll go before you to the land of the dead and announce that you're coming there too. And of course, the Lord does descend into the netherworld, which is what we call the harrowing of hell. So that's how Gregory the Great solves the conundrum of why John is asking the question. But it also gives the Lord the opportunity to send back what seems like a kind of an enigmatic answer. He doesn't say, yes, John, I'm the one. What does he do? He gives a list of things that the prophet Isaiah says are going to happen at the time when he who is to come has come. The thing is, in Isaiah, the one who is to come is not just the Messiah. The one who is to come is God himself. That's why we have this list of things. It's not just that the Messiah has come. There are things in this list that only God can do. Lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised up, and so forth. And then, of course, just after this pericope here, so remember, we have to read in context. We have to see where they are. In chapter 8, a couple of chapters before this, the Lord has healed a leper. The Lord raised the son of the widow of Nain. So he has done these things that he mentions in here, and those are things that only God can do. So he's sending a message out, and this is why he adds that tagline in here, and blessed is he who takes no offense at me. You know, all through scriptures, when he makes claims, like when he forgives sins, for example, your sins are forgiven. Take up your bed and walk, your sins are forgiven, that kind of thing. The Jews who are listening kind of go crazy because only God can forgive sins. So he's making himself out to be God, and they hear that to be blasphemy, and they take offense. So the Lord knows that the people here are picking up on exactly what he's saying. They know the people listening, they know their book of Isaiah. They know their prophets. They know that all of these allusions that he's making not just about the coming of the Messiah, but about the coming of God himself. And so people are probably reacting very sharply to this. And so he says, blessed are those who take no offense at me. But then he goes on and he talks about John. And he'll quote Malachi, the prophet Malachi, who indicates that especially in verse 14, which we don't hear in this reading, but it's part of the whole context. He says that Elijah, because Elijah is supposed to come before the end of things, before the coming of the Lord. And so when he calls John an Elijah, he's indicating again that he is God. So both these sections where he is answering John's question about his identity, and then he turns around and asks people about John's identity, this kind of bookends of question and answer about the identity of two different figures. He's using both of these opportunities to indicate to people that he is not just the Messiah, but he is God amongst them, God in their midst. He has come. And this is why we have this in Advent, this time of waiting. Because remember that the season of Advent is more than just a preparation a penitential season before the joyous feast of the Nativity of the Lord. Remember, before our feasts we fast. Before great feasts days we need vigils, and we have to fast, and we have to pray and prepare in that way. But this is a time when Holy Mother Church wants us to reflect also on the end of the world and the coming of God, and our own coming to God, if we precede his coming by our own death, we have to prepare for that as well. So Holy Mother Church is a loving mother, gives us all of these things to think about the arc of time, the history of salvation, certainly, but the arc of time of our own lives. And so that we know we have our eyes fixed properly on the one who is to come. Credo in unum Deo, Patrem omnipotentem, ad corpus et terrae, visibilium omnium et invisibilium, et in unum Dominum Iesum Christum, in Deo unigenitum, et ex Patri natum ad eo via saecula, Deum de Deo, lumen de lumine, Deum vero de Deo vero, genitum non pacem, consubstantiale Patri, per premonia pacem sunt, in propter nos homines, in propter nosum salutem decendi decernis, et incarnatus est Dei Spiritus Sancto ex Maria Virgine, homo factus est. Crucifixus etiam pro nobis, sum Pontio Pilato passus et sepultus est, et resurrexit in die secundum scripturas, et ascendit in caelum, sedet ad exitum patris, et iterum venturus est cum volia judicare vivos et mortuos, cuius regni nun et epimus, et in spiritum sanctum dominum et vivificantem, vis patre filioque procedi, quicum patre filio simula natur et cum glorificatur, qui locutus est per profetas, et unam sanctam catholicam et apostolicam et ecclesiam, quod filior unum baptisma in remissione peccatorum, et expecto resurrexione mortuorum, et vita venturi seculi. Amen. Dominus obiscum. Oremus. Benedictistino, Deus tu conversus mimi digabis nos, et vens proletavitur in te. Ostende nobis, Domine, misericordiam tuam, et salutare tuam da nobis.